B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week stuck out of here.
You're gonna get me come Christmas. I think I already know I shot the mistletoe. Even though it's early December, I know we'll be putting up lights come Christmas. We'll be baking a ham, boiling the jam. Gonna be a night to remember. Forget the very best gifts come free. Oh, I guess I have to wait till Christmas. Dancing by the brass band, my baby, won't it be stellar? Gonna be a night to remember. So bring on the bell and carol the bell. Oh, sugar plum, bring on.
Shot your mistletoe, Christmas, turn me on.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. People are in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Go to the App Store, where you go, and you can get the show live. You can get the podcast. That is all for you. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. As I am at home today, Rich, of course, is as always in Nantucket. And Wallach, are you at home?
I am.
And you figured out how to put everything together?
I got some good help yesterday, yes.
Did people come to the house, or did they do it over FaceTime?
FaceTime.
Ah,
so at one point today, Fred, we're going to have the three of us remote, and then I believe Joe and Lifshatz are going to be on Zoom as well. So just know that
what
be
could
nice
go wrong?
To Dan this morning.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, be nice to producer Dan, because I mean, he's gonna be a traffic director, and you know, as I know very well over the last few months, he hears the end of it when things don't go well, unfairly, when it's not his fault. But I mean, he's got to be the guy that either connects the guy or the one who fixes himself. So he's got five different heads that are going to be directed his way during at least one or two of the segments this morning.
All I know is that
shut the mistletoe, turn me on.
I sang it. I was singing it last night, and I'm like, you know what? Just to make sure I get that out of my head, it's going to be fun tomorrow.
I think I already know.
I shut the mistletoe, Christmas, turn me on.
Oh man, why can't every day be Christmas when there's a guy like Basil Marceau serenading you?
Can get very violent when he is passionate about something. He is not the nicest guy in the world, I can tell you that.
We learned that. He went to court and told the judge, I think it was I'm governor, you're going to jail or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you know what that didn't do to him?
It didn't. Turn me on.
And if you've seen the video for that song, I'll tell you, his wife, hides those glasses in that tree like you wouldn't believe. Even she's a persistent one. As much as Basil tries, she'll just bring the glasses back into the tree. I mean, it's a whole thing that they don't really explain, but it's there.
Well, so, things, Fred, from everything I've heard, have started off swimmingly on the roads. I guess there's already a jackknife tractor trailer south of the city. I know that Mike, on the way in, he comes in from the Foxborough area, and he said there's just cars left and right stuck on the side of the road. I'll have to find out where exactly the jackknife tractor trailer is, but, I mean, it's apparently just awful.
Exit 8. Quincy area, eight. Right, John?
Yep, exit 8.
Yeah, coming northbound.
Yes.
Okay. So at one point, Rich, I thought I heard that they actually, the people that were behind them, they turned them around on the expressway.
Oh, yes. Jeez, man.
Said, we're gonna get you back to an exit where you can get you off of this.
Yeah, I read that, too. That's got to take some time. Yeah, you had to have been on the road for a long time by the time they tell you to go the wrong way down the freeway.
And that was like around 4 o'clock this morning. So, I mean, they've been working on that for a while now. And, you know, I guess as soon as we find out that that's been cleared up, you know, great. But, I mean, just if you don't have to drive today, just stay the hell off the road.
If I could just tell you real quick, Nick and I stayed at a hotel nearby that had parking available. So I said to him, look, there's no need for me to drive my car. If you're going in, I'll just go with you. Yeah. So it was like a valet situation where they would bring the car around. It was a little bit of you drive under a carport. We got in the car, and when we pulled out of the carport, we got stuck. We, like, not even 5 feet out onto the street, we got stuck to the point where I had to get out and push the car. I think part of the car was still underneath the overhang. And then the guy that was, gentleman that was clearing the rest of the sidewalk with the snowblower that worked at the hotel, he came over to help us just to get literally out of the parking area that we're in. So if there's no need to go out, and there really isn't, there's no need to go out at all.
So are you going back to Maine today, Dan?
No, but you know what? That's probably why I left my car there, Fred. I was thinking there's no need to, what am I going to white knuckle it back, you know, today while there's probably still snow, especially even north of the city. Call it a day and do it tomorrow.
They got the free breakfast at the hotel?
Breakfast? No.
Free COVID breakfast for everyone to share?
No, the restaurant, there's nothing open, Rich. Okay. If you like to sleep, this is the place for you.
No one's there, is what you're saying.
There was no bar, you're saying?
No bar, no restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah, so you got there and you were going, hey, I'm at a hotel, I'm in the city, kind of.
Kind of. I told Fred, I said, I ended up watching there was a Bee Gees documentary on HBO, and I'm like, no, I'll just go to bed.
Yeah, I saw some of that, too. The Bee Gees, not the most interesting lives in the world, because last night I saw the Johnny Depp has put, because Johnny Depp, as we've talked about before, has this romances he has with fringe characters, and he did a documentary called Croc of Gold with about Shane McGowan from the Pogues, and Shane McGowan from the Pogues, you look at him and you go, wow, he's like really old. And then you realize he's 62.
You're like, he's still alive.
But he's 62 and he's in a wheelchair and his head tilts all the way to the right.
Yeah.
Like, he's completely out of it. And then there's Mr. Johnny Depp.
Now, right? His teeth look good, though, right? Didn't he get those all fixed?
Yeah, but the problem is he got his teeth fixed and then everything else fell apart.
Okay.
When his teeth, it's funny because he looks a million times better with jacked teeth, because every time they show him in the documentary that's archival footage, it's him with jacked teeth. But then when they show him present day, I mean, they have to play the interviews he's done in the past to him. So, like, the present day interviews with him, for the most part, are just him listening to interviews that he had taped earlier in his life. Yeah. So, Shane McGowan from the Pogues are not doing well. Well,
if you ever saw him live, you would think, wow, how did he even make it to get off the stage at the end of a show?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, they kept him on the road 363 days 1 year, and he came back from that world tour and was never the same.
Wow.
Never the same. They ruined him. Do you understand? They ruined him.
The road.
Yes, but that is another Johnny Depp production that he puts himself right in it. He's having drinks with Shane McGowan. So there you go. That was me. But then you go from that to the Bee Gees, and the Bee Gees are just like,
We all got along famously.
But there was a time where just Barry Gibb, from everything I've read, could walk into any bar in any country in the world and just sleep with anyone he wanted to. Like Barry
when was
Gibb
this?
You're talking about when Saturday Night Fever was out. Like Saturday Night Fever, they were the biggest. I still think that's one of the biggest, if not the biggest selling soundtrack of all time. The Bodyguard might be number one. But it, I mean, for years, Saturday Night Fever was the biggest soundtrack of all time. Do you know how many hits the Bee Gees had? They were enormous for a while. And also it helped that the other two Bee Gees were kind of homely. That it made him look even better.
Well,
the twin brothers, yeah.
No, no. Well, because the bald one was, there's nothing wrong with him. It's the other one that was the bit of the mistake. Oh, yeah, they talk about in the documentary, they talk about how Saturday Night Fever came out and then they waited a year and put out another record. And Charlie Steiner, the voice of your Los Angeles Dodgers, was a news guy, which is funny that they had. He's a news guy at like the top 40 station, and their playlist was like 20 songs, and the Bee Gees were like 10 of them.
Yeah, they had a million hits.
And they have the DJs on the air saying, like, they have, you know, tapes from back then of the DJs on the air complaining. And you can only imagine what it would take for a top 40 DJ on an AM station in the late 70s to complain about the music. I mean, that's unheard of. And they're complaining about how much of the Bee Gees that they're playing. They're like, right, well, this is, I guess, another Bee Gees.
They were the 70s three doors down, Fred.
Wait. Wait a second. All right. I know there's a snowstorm, and I know we're close. I know this is your last day for a long time.
It was a low blow to Three Doors Down. I apologize.
But let's not start. This is not. If something happens to you over the Christmas break, this is how you want to be remembered as the guy that said that about Three Doors Down? I don't think
so. I am sorry, four nameless guys who will never be remembered.
There's five of them.
Are there five guys in Three Doors Down? It
there's
takes
a twin
five
guitar
guys
attack.
To make that much magic? I guess it should. Oh, the guitar attack, yes. I mean, he is really genius behind all of it.
It's drum, bass. I believe it's a dual guitar attack. I don't know. I mean, when you see them live, they have a whole orchestra. So, I mean, you remember they did something with the Frankfurt Symphony Orchestra. Three
well,
doors
they have
down.
A backup singer in the band.
Turn
I mean, you know.
Me on.
They don't look much different than Basil Marceau does, actually, if you've ever seen a band photo.
I shot a missile. Coming back. I'm not quite done.
All right, Rich, as I'm sure the audience right now for this show is just enormous.
We're doing this one strictly for the plow guys this morning.
That's right, so don't be plowing me in. That's all I got to say. What is coming up, Rich? What happened last night?
How about a major name returns to the Patriots? Also, nationally, people obviously are calling out the Patriots for not being very good.
All right, we will hear all about that coming up in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, right now, the Patriots are in a strange type of football purgatory, the upside down of the NFL world, where they statistically aren't officially out of the playoff race, but their chances are so slim, they are now being left out of the sympathetic charity playoff race graphics that they put on TV. But
no,
yeah,
just
they're gone
more,
now.
More ammunition, more ammunition, more to put a chip on their shoulder.
They hate us because they ain't us, Fred. That's it.
Right. Defend the wall.
That's right. Well, at least we should get an entertaining game this weekend when the Patriots head down to Miami to take on their old buddy Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa. And someone who may be seeing some action, possibly for the first time in 2 months, is Julian Edelman, Mr. JE11, fresh off his longboard. Not very good skating today with all the snow on the ground, but he practiced yesterday for the first time since October, and now it remains unclear whether or not he'll be activated from IR before Sunday's game. But here is Bill. He was asked about Julian's status yesterday.
Julian, I'd put him in the day-to-day category. But when he's ready, we'll start him. If he's not ready, then he'll keep working, and we'll wait until he's ready.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you. Well, I don't know how much a receiver is going to be needed when no one can throw to him. But
just going to say, he's wasted space out there. A, because he's taken so many hits over his career. I would think just call it a day for him this season anyway. But two, I mean, what are they averaging? 75 yards passing the last 3 weeks? I mean, it's not
decoy,
really worth
John.
It having him out there.
It's a decoy. That way, you know, there'll be too many men on Julian Edelman.
All that coverage he demands, right.
Yeah, this might be a goodbye. This might be having him practice this week, not play this week, and then basically just say, we're going to give you a last game in a uniform, and then you'll be on your way.
He's got 1 year left, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, he's got one more after this one.
But okay. Is there any cap hit? I mean, it's not guaranteed, I can't imagine. So
no, it's not a – I mean, I'll look it up. But put it this way, I don't think the Patriots would blink twice.
Right. So I would imagine that this is just an exercise to get him, out there and say goodbye and thank you for your service and good day.
That's a weird place right now for the Patriots because, you know, you look at last year, which is crazy, for as cruddy as last year was, that was his best year. I mean, he had like 1,100 yards. He looked good, and I know that's because there weren't a ton of other options for Brady to throw to last year. But, I mean, he did very, very well. And, you know, he had his best game as a Patriot, I think, while at the beginning of this season. And he's injured all the time. But I don't know if it's just an easy he's not going to be here anymore.
Well, bad rebuilding teams don't keep around aging slot receivers.
He's taken way too many hits in his career, and it's a $2.6 million dead cap hit if they cut him loose. Yeah. It's not a... I agree with Fred. He will be very fortunate if he plays anywhere next year.
You're probably right, but I just don't think it's a slam dunk that he's not going to be on this team next year.
You get the goodbye. You play the Patriots. This is their last road game. You got two home games after this. You know, don't play him against Buffalo. Play him against the Jets. At the end of the season, he makes a catch. He gets a standing ovation, and that's it.
From the sidelines.
I think you keep him because there's – what did you say the cap it was, John?
$2.6 million.
There's value there. I mean, value in a guy. I'm just saying that it's not a slam dunk that he's gone.
That's not how teams operate. You don't keep around pieces that aren't going to – veteran pieces that aren't going to help. You dump veteran pieces that aren't going to help. There's absolutely no reason to keep him. They're not in the business of Julian Edelman. They're not in the business. They have to move on. They have to build around what they have. And Julian Edelman is not a piece that's going to fit for this team.
That's probably the smart move. You're right, Fred. I just don't see them immediately doing that. I don't think it's a definite given, but who the hell knows? But all I know is that on this week's Inside the NFL, it was interesting because they had a mic'd up audio from the Patriots Rams. They're probably regretting that they chose that game to mic up, but there was one moment that was worth revisiting when Belichick and Sean McVay met in midfield and Bill told him, well, you kind of kicked our ass.
Good luck, Russ.
Great job. Yeah, you killed us. Yeah, you had a great plan.
Appreciate it, man.
Had a good team, yeah. Way. Good luck. Yeah, you too, kid. Good job.
You embarrassed us on television. You really pissed me off, and let's get out of here. So Bill Belichick obviously likes Sean McVay because Sean McVay essentially kissed his ass at the beginning of last year's Super Bowl, which I know they actually asked.
Well, which, you know, if Belichick beats you in the Super Bowl and you kiss his ass, God bless you. Yeah, mm-hmm. then you're forever in his good graces.
Oh, yep. He's one of the guys he likes. Well, the guys at the Pro Football Focus, they put together their AFC and NFC Pro Bowl teams today, and there are a grand total of two Patriots on it, and both are offensive linemen, Mike Onwenu and, of course, Jack Mason. No love for Nick Folk. They picked a dude from Miami, and to be quite honest, I haven't been keeping track of Miami's kicker, but he must be damn good.
No, he's been outstanding. Take it from a fantasy football perspective. He's been outstanding.
Okay, so he's your guy, so you've been monitoring.
Correct. As a matter of fact, yes.
Okay, well, I just saw that. I'm like, not even Nick Folk? You're not giving love to Nick Folk?
No.
Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now, apparently, the rest of the league knows what we've known is that this team just isn't really very good right now. Also, the league voted yesterday on how they intend to add a 17th game to the regular season if and when they vote to allow a 17th game into the regular season. Got it? They didn't actually approve what them adding it, just what would happen if they had one. So basically, each team would add another interconference game. So AFC teams would play five NFC teams every year and vice versa. Also, the AFC and the NFC would alternate by year on who gets nine home games. And as I said, this was not a vote as to whether they're going to do it, just if they are going to vote on it, here's how it will be set up. So it most likely won't be implemented next season. But another thing that the owners in the league have come to an impasse on is whether or not to reduce the amount of games in the preseason. This has been a thing that all year long they've been discussing doing, having two instead of four games. Now, reportedly, the owners, including the Crafts, still want all four games. And according to ESPN, they said Goodell seemed in favor of shortening the preseason from four games to two.
Oh, but he's got something up his sleeve.
Look at that clown nose he's got. Such a clown with his two games. Now I want four. Well, they said apparently Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, John Mara, and Art Rooney from Pittsburgh, they dismissed the idea. Owners argued that a reduction to three preseason games might work, but not two. No vote was taken, and the schedule remained unchanged. I have to be honest. I always thought it was, you know, kind of a screw job that if you had season tickets, you had to pay for those preseason games. But to be honest, this year with no preseason games kind of sucked. It's kind of like a don't know what you got till it's gone. I don't even know if two is enough to analyze who you want on this roster. So there's that
the
as well.
The fourth preseason game is a joke.
Always, yeah. So yeah, three I don't think would be that bad of a deal. I got no problem with three.
Why not two and have a joint workout with another team? That's just as good.
I mean, I know the Patriots have been, you know, doing that for a while with the joint workouts and everything, but who knows?
All I know is if Goodell doesn't want it, it's got to be good.
Then there's something to it. Then go the other way.
Yeah, go always follow Goodell and do the opposite because he's got something up his sleeve.
Meanwhile, the Ravens just... What the hell are they doing? Apparently, they got more COVID problems. They placed Hollywood Brown, Miles Boykin, and a third player on the reserve COVID list. I mean, when are you going to learn? Like, what are you doing wrong?
Well,
like
pretty soon. If they make the playoffs, they'll be set because everyone on the team has had COVID. So well, that's going to be great.
That's the John Harbaugh plan.
Yeah, no bubble needed for them. Be perfect.
Yeah, yeah, if they make the playoffs, they don't have to worry about anything. They'll never have to get the vaccine. They'll be great to go.
Did you hear about the jackassery that apparently the NFL put out there that when your season is over, like during the postseason, like once you are out, you're required to stick around for a week if you're a player and continue to get testing. Now, I don't know what the benefit of that is. All I know is that if I'm a guy and my season's over, I want to get the F out of Dodge and back to wherever I live and get back to my family, and football is done for me. But they're going to continue to test them at their team facility for a week after the season is over. I still haven't heard a good explanation as to why they want to do that.
So if you live in Florida and you're playing for the Patriots, you're saying they're going to want to get out of here? I don't find that difficult to believe.
I mean,
that they'd want to actually go live their lives. Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, I honestly don't understand what the hell the point of that is. They're not your responsibility anymore. Just I would want to get them out of there as soon as possible.
Oh, yeah, if you're the NFL, it's like, because all that does is give you a chance to rack up more positive COVID cases to make you look bad.
Right, so, exactly. I mean, just to get something reported that no one would care about. Like if Jabroni left tackle, you know, gets a positive COVID test on his own, no one cares. Mm-hmm. But if it's part of a team's outbreak, yeah, that doesn't. I don't understand what there's. Again, it's something Goodell's got up his sleeve to screw the Pats. It's the one year they don't make the playoffs, and Goodell's already making them stick around.
This game's going to roll this weekend, though. I'm actually looking forward to this Miami Patriots game. I find that Miami team fascinating because obviously their defense has been, you know, they've been pretty damn good. But Tua is a big question mark every week. You know, he's playing like a rookie, but then the guy's got such great skills, you know, just natural talent. So who knows what they're going to be able to do against the Patriots. This is one of the few games I'm actually really looking forward to this weekend.
It could ruin Miami's season. I mean, it could ruin Miami's season.
The thing with Tua is he'll put it together for like a quarter. You know, he'll look like the guy at Alabama for like a quarter, and then he'll run around and throw a ball out of bounds. You know, he's not watching what Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert have done this year, and then you compare it to Tua. It's just it's night and day at this point.
Yeah, and it's not like Tua was supposed to be a project. So. Yeah. I mean, Herbert was supposed to be more of a project than Tua.
That's true. I think even the Chargers are surprised by how good Herbert was out of the box.
Well, Herbert is very, very good, and Tua is not. But, you know, some people that follow the league think that Tua is going to be something. I don't see it, but – and I do. And now I am not alone. I've heard this sentiment echoed. But I think it's very possible that if Houston continues to lose, the Dolphins take a quarterback. Very possible. And now I've actually heard that from other people, so I don't feel so alone. I don't feel so damn alone. But I've heard national guys say that they wouldn't be surprised with that Houston pick if Miami takes a quarterback based on who is on the board at that time. If they can get one of the top three guys, maybe that they would take a chance. For instance, if Wilson goes second and Fields was still out there, maybe you would take a swing at him. Because, again, I think that they just kind of took a guy because he was there, and then they who knows what the future has in store. All right, Rich, we'll go to headlines. What do we got coming up?
Gordon Hayward is cursed, and James Harden speaks to the press for the first time since demanding a trade.
Yes, and he was eating. He was just having fruitcakes the entire time that he was talking.
It was a trade at the lunch table he was demanding. I'll take your Swiss cake rolls for this banana that my mom packed.
Yeah, this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't want this. Give me some rang-dangs. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich, and everyone's broadcasting from home. Oh, how I missed it.
Yeah, if you want a parking spot in this parking lot today, today's the day.
Yeah.
There is nobody out there.
You turn on the TV and it's just one video after the next of cars just sliding off the road. One, then the next, then the next, then the next. It's a nightmare out there right now. And I don't know if they've removed that jackknife tractor trailer, but if you haven't heard and you're waking up right now, if you're coming from south of the city and you're trying to get in town, don't. Just stay home. It is a nightmare right now.
Yeah. So, or take the side roads. Always well plowed. Always well plowed. All right. What's going on, Rich?
I swear, Gordon Hayward must have run over a gypsy caravan because that guy is cursed. The Hornets announced yesterday.
A lot of people want daughters. Don't you dare say that.
What?
I mean, you're saying he's cursed, but I mean, perhaps he wanted all those daughters because he had that reaction at the gender reveal.
That's right. Daddy's always happy. That's right.
Yay, another girl. Yeah.
Just because he looked like he was just been shot when he found out he was having another daughter doesn't mean that he's cursed.
He got undue crap for that. We actually talked to him about that, and he was like, yeah, I was joking around. And he goes, sure. Obviously, there's part of me that really wanted a boy. He goes, but it's like I'm not going to be happy that it's a girl. Well, you know, he did he leave the bubble for the boy. So,
yeah, I mean, he wasn't happy.
He finally got one boy. So yeah,
but he had to. I mean, how many mouths does he have to feed now? I mean, they had to keep trying and trying and trying.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, his wife just have to keep pushing out kids and pushing out kids.
keep them coming.
Yeah, well, that's no good.
Well, the Hornets announced yesterday that only one game into his four-year, $120 million contract, he will be day-to-day after suffering an avulsion fracture of the fifth finger on his right shooting hand. Apparently, this condition is referred to as jersey finger, which I'm always getting on the turnpike. But Michael Jordan, he's already...
The situation had that several times. It's a kind of herpes that you get while it's safer than genital. But
sure.
You know, you try to be safe. I don't know if you saw the episode where they had the girls that they picked up from up on top of their place. But, yeah, the situation got jersey finger very badly at that point. It was not good.
Well, Michael Jordan, I'm sure, is already feeling that return on investment. Nice sign of things to come, unfortunately. Well, James Harden is finally talking to the media after reportedly demanding a trade after missing the beginning of the preseason to go clubbing all around the country. First, he addressed the reports that he wanted to be traded from the Rockets.
Do you still want the Rockets to trade you? And if so, why?
Right now, I'm just focused on being here. Today was good. Yesterday felt really good being out there. You know, the first time since the bubble. I haven't really had an opportunity to do a lot of 5-on-5 work, but for my first time being out there, I think I felt pretty good. So,
well, there's a reason you didn't have an opportunity to do a lot of 5-on-5 work. You're missing. You weren't there.
Because you don't want to be there.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of on you.
Yeah, you were out there with Lil Baby, who's got two of the top 20 songs of 2020, according to Complex Magazine. Ooh. Yeah, Little Baby's done jail time. Well, there's a lot to know about Little Baby, gentlemen, and James Harden is there for all of it. Well, and I think that if you had a chance to be with Little Baby, you'd do the same thing.
Well, he was asked about that. I mean, listen, if winning is a priority and, you know, wanting to get your 5-on-5s in, then why are there videos with Little Baby in Atlanta and pouring champagne in Vegas while your teammates were there in Houston practicing?
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas? When training camp was starting?
I was just training.
What were you training for?
The start of the NBA season.
How did going to Atlanta and Vegas help you there when the Rockets were starting training camp in Houston?
Just, you know, my personal trainers.
Yeah, were you training in the nightclub? Just follow up. Like, I mean, this is an easy thing to get him on. Easy
training for a pie-eating contest is what he was doing.
It's what it looks like. He's, you know, he's got a body by Sara Lee.
Yeah, he's putting on a little – he's working it off, though, you know. He's got the two preseason games.
He's like, you know, to me, every time you would see the Deftones, you would know exactly where they were on their tour. If it was the beginning of the tour, Chino the singer was super fat. But by the end of it, he had worked it all out. So that maybe that's what he's doing. He's got a Chino from the Deftones thing going on. Beginning of the season, you come in fat, and you just kind of work your way out of it by the end of the season.
The touring losing weight is not the healthiest, I don't think, way to lose weight. That sounds a lot like I'm substituting food with alcohol. And drugs is what
they're very
imagine.
Active on stage. I'll give them that. It's the jumping around, and, you know, the Chino does like to run around the stage, so maybe that's the case. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that one, Fred.
Yes, of course.
Well, all of this James Harden's news comes as ESPN wrote an article quoting people within the Rockets organization on surprise how everyone kowtowed to each and every whim of James Harden. The culture was summed up with three words, whatever James wants. They said, quote, unless they were on the front end of a back-to-back set, it was essentially a sure thing that the Rockets stayed overnight or even an extra day after games in Los Angeles, Phoenix, and other road cities that rank among Harden's favorite stops, a.k.a. where the strip clubs are. If the Rockets had 2 or 3 days between games, it was a good bet that Harden would call for an off day and charter a private jet to party in Las Vegas or another city. He always gets an excused absence from the first practice after the All-Star break for the same reason. Harden had pushed the Rockets to upgrade every offseason, saying he would want to be traded if they couldn't contend, and he had final say on things just beyond the travel and practice schedules. He'd call shots on personnel moves, both the roster, the coaching staff, and he flexed that power when he apparently got rid of Kevin McHale, also Dwight Howard and Chris Paul. So when he left, it says in the article, by leaving the Rockets twisting in the wind while camp opened with little communication, Harden made his absence the focus of rookie head coach Steven Silas's first days of practice, and by blowing off the NBA's COVID-19 protocols, partying maskless during the pandemic, and boasting about it on Instagram, he revealed what could come if he doesn't get his way. Quote, he's never heard no before, one Rocket staffer said. So yeah, he's going to act up. If they have a multiple day off, or if they have multiple days off, everybody knows James is going to fly somewhere and party, a member of last season's coaching staff said. But he's going to come back and have a 50-point triple-double, so they're okay with it. They said, but the lack of discipline and attention to detail hasn't been okay with Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook, ultimately leading to the breakup between Harden and those two stars. One of Paul's biggest beefs, sources said, was that Harden basically opted not to participate in the Rockets' offense when the ball wasn't in his hands. No! Sometimes barely stepping over half court. We've seen this. It's hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes barely stepping over half court while spectating when Paul had the ball. Harden quickly tired of Paul barking about his concerns, which included, as you should, lobbying coach Mike D'Antoni to implement more structure and movement in an offensive system that revolved around Harden's isolations. Poor Chris Paul. He's like, damn it, do something about this. Mike, like when I get the ball, he just stops working. It's like a robot. Just turns off and watches and becomes a dude in the stands. And we've seen that so many damn times. I mean, almost to a comical effect. And the fact that like Chris Paul was just as frustrated as the rest of us watching Harden play is pretty fantastic.
Well, so, the thing that is, if you're, I thought about this. The thing is, if you're not going to win a championship, you're not going to keep your job as coach anyway. You're not going to keep your job as GM anyway. So, I mean, at what point do you say, just for my own mental state and maybe my standing in the league, I'm just going to go, no, like I'm not doing, like I'm going to bench him and just bench him and bench him and bench him. And then if the owner has a problem with it, then I, you know, kind of sneak it out maybe through back channels that the owner is kowtowing to this guy. And, you know, I mean, there's got to be a point where you go, this is not going to win me a championship.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That doing this is not making, and I'm gonna be the one who suffers.
Yeah, that now that D'Antoni's in Brooklyn, that makes complete sense. You know,
well,
yeah.
I kept hearing, you know, you think back to when he first, the reports were that he wanted out of Houston. It was him in Westbrook. And I think about that report that came out where I guess the Celtics did their due diligence and they picked up the phone. And I guess they had multiple people within the Rockets organization go, don't. Like, you don't know what you're getting into
right
when you sign James Harden. And now all this stuff is coming to light. I mean, listen, most of this is in the public eye, and you could have assumed all this was happening. But the fact that all these people are now just saying, yeah, it's as bad as you think it is. There's no gray area here. He is not about winning. Obviously, if it didn't hit you over the head like a frying pan over the last couple of weeks just by his actions, we've got years worth of material that we can lay on you and stories just to drive the point home.
Yeah, and just be like, okay, well, you're not going to trade him. I'm not going to play him. And then if the GM says you have to play him, you know, talk to Woj or talk to whoever and, you know, let it go out there through anonymous sources that what's going on, because all you're doing is it's, I mean, you know how coaches are, and especially basketball coaches, is that they hate this stuff. I mean, they absolutely hate it. They know it's not the way to win. So, I mean, I what's the worst that could happen? You get fired, which you're going to get fired anyway because you're not winning a championship with them.
Okay, so, if you're an NBA team, and Max and I talked about this on the broadcast a couple of nights ago, if you're Philadelphia and you thought you trusted the process and it all blew up in your face. Now, knowing what you know about Harden, do you make that trade?
No, and here's why. I like Doc Rivers, and I want to see him succeed. Can you imagine going from what you apparently read about, you know, these articles about the Kawhi Leonard and right. Paul George treatment, about how they were divas, and then thinking that you've escaped that and trying to rebuild something pure that's about basketball, and then James Harden comes in, who sounds even worse than Kawhi Leonard was. So I just don't think that if you're Doc Rivers, as tempting as it is to get that talent on your team, don't you think you would rather build from the ground? Not, I mean, ground up doesn't seem fair because you got two pretty big stars on that team, but at least try to build something that is focused on basketball and get away from what you've been dealing with for the last several years.
Yes.
I guess it would be a leap of faith, is that you would have to just be absolutely sure that with the change of scenery, well, you would have to tell, well, first of all, you'd have to tell them that going into it that, you know, we're not going to change our schedule around for you. Obviously, we're not going to, believe it or not, we're not going to just allow you to set our off days and when we do things. And then, you know, he goes along with that. I know it would just be a complete leap of faith, and you would have to be very, and on the court, you would have to go, well, I can win with him playing this way. But if that's not the case, then no, I wouldn't make the move. Because you would have to know from a basketball standpoint, just from an X's and O's standpoint, that everything is going to have to go through him, and this is the way that we're going to win, and believe that you can win a championship that way.
I'm just trying to think if there's been a superstar in this league that we know of that has gone from being the James Harden type of guy who wants to go out and party on every off night and, you know, is about, like, demanding days off, to becoming basketball guy, like to becoming Kevin Garnett. And I don't know if we've seen any evidence of that. It's almost like a loser is a loser. You know what I mean? Like a guy who just like that's who you are and that's who they remain, unless they're lucky enough in their later years to kind of become a barnacle to a team that has a LeBron James type guy who is all about the game and all about, you know, staying in shape. And during the season is the season. I don't know if, I mean, can you think of any case where someone has kind of flipped the switch that way?
What about Anthony Davis, who really didn't want to be in New Orleans?
But that wasn't because he was partying or he was a diva. I think that he just got frustrated with the situation that was around him. I mean, at the time, you know, I don't think he liked, well, I don't know. I'm trying to remember the scenarios why he left. But I never heard any rumors about him being, like, a party guy and like, you know, demanding that the team, like, the stuff that you heard was, you know, some of the Miami Heat and all that, you know, like.
I mean, because you have to be a special kind of guy to make those kind of demands. It just seems like there's plenty of guys that can make a ton of money and have a lot of power and not make those demands. I mean, that sounds like an awful lot. I don't know. Maybe other players do it. Maybe there's a lot of players that do it. But it seems that it almost would be easier just to say, like, all right, I'll just at least follow your schedule. I mean, that seems to be quite, I don't know, shame on the team for allowing him to do it, really.
Well, that's why, Fred, that Giannis news was just so unbelievably refreshing. And a guy like Giannis, you look at that and, you know, you see what's happened, as we mentioned, with the Clippers and with James Harden. And, you know, Giannis is right now every bit of a superstar as James Harden is, if not more so, but more people would want to have Giannis on their team. And his whole thing in his press conference yesterday was, you know, what are you going to do? And he goes, I'm just looking forward to putting roots here and, you know, having a family. You're like, okay, right. You're wow. Boring, but that's awesome. We kind of want that in this league right now.
I mean, even partying and doing whatever, I don't care. I mean, I would too. I mean, if I was had hundreds of millions of dollars and was young and
not to get laid whenever I wanted. Fly to Vegas for 24
hours. But not to the detriment of the team. That's
right.
The difference.
Like, no, what I'm saying is that that's almost more hassle than it's worth. You have to look everyone in the eye and be like, I'm the guy who did all this stuff. And
yeah,
I don't know. That just seems like you'd have to be almost like have a personality disorder to want that. It just would be easier kind of to go with the flow than it would be to upset the apple cart like that. If I could throw more cliches out there. All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Aqib Talib. Bankroll Boys still on the way. Enjoy the snow. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.